If it's not enough to walk out in the middle of the night for Slichos to remind us that the end of the year is nigh and the time for Tshuva is being intensified, as I left my home a few minutes ago, I noticed a three-quarter moon. There's no way that signals the end of the month more clear and for us the end of the year than to see the moon. Three quarters means there's a week left, a little over a week. And then a new year begins and a new world. Over the summer, when I'm in Israel, I learned, who is trying to have a sefer with me? So I learned from Minchei Ma'ariv in Shul, the sefer Musar Avicha, one of Rav Kook's writings. In Israel, I have it with the parish of Rav Chagai Londin. And here I just have in the Stam. Mosada Rav Kook edition. Rav Kook quotes the beginning. This is in the second parak, the end of Siman Dalad. He quotes from the Mesilas Yesharim that, of course, the whole foundation of Chassidus, the of piety, the source of our avoda, is that a person has to clarify in the world, has to clarify macho vasoba olamo. What is our obligation in the world? And he writes that, in a very short form, the greatest good for man is lasos nachas ruach liyotzro, to bring us some contentment of sorts, kivyochol, to his creator. How is that possible? So Rav Kook wrote that shleimut, perfection in life, is a combination of seichel and yosher. Seichel meaning intellect, and yosha meaning uprightness. As we know, the people who are very bright, we call them clever, too clever by half, and without any yashrus, their intellect leads them astray. But seichel combined with yosher will naturally lead a person to avodas Hashem, into a situation where he's osa nachas ruach liyotzro. And he brings a mashal to answer the following question. We all know there's a great good that awaits man. And the good is described in a number of ways, in the Torah for the nation, but even in our own lives. And yet, Chazal say that we should not be like avodim ha-mishamshin es-harav al-menas l'kabel pras. We shouldn't be like servants who serve God, serve the Master, in order to receive a reward. Rav Kook says, why not? What's wrong with the reward? You do something proper, you get a reward. So he brings this mashal, a very interesting mashal. Imagine there's a fellow who has insight into a catastrophe that's about to befall a particular state or country. He knows, for example, that throughout that an area, there'll be Rasha Aretz Norav Ayom, a terrible earthquake. And he has advanced knowledge, his own Richter scale, whatever it is. He knows it's going to happen, and he warns everyone. And everyone is able to flee, and the earthquake comes and devastates the region, and nonetheless, everyone is saved. He saves thousands of people, and he's lionized by everyone, and a fellow sends him a check for $1,000. And he rejoices over the $1,000 gift that he got far more than the fact that he was able to save so many lives. Is there anything, Rav Kook writes, that will approach that type of pchitut ha-nefesh, lowliness of the soul? Here he saved thousands of lives, and that doesn't give him cause to rejoice. What gives him cause for rejoice is a little money that he receives. So Rav Kook says the nimshol is that we are put on this earth to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to think of a schar, a benefit, a hana, an enjoyment, some type of pleasure, some type of ratzon prati, personal will that we have, and correspond it to the great good we have just in serving Hashem, it's a lowliness of spirit. That's al tiyukavodim hamisham shenesarav al menas lekabel pras. The fact that we do the Ratzon Hashem, that is the greatest benefit to us, regardless of anything else. And of course, the real test is, and at the very core of tshuva, and the return of this period of time, is how then do we align our Ratzon with the Ratzon Hashem? He writes in the next piece that the essence of life is Ratzon v'hakara, free will and instinct as well. Just like we have to strive to perfect our chachma, so too we have to strive to perfect our bechira. Just like we try to perfect our deeds, so too we have to try to perfect our free will also. That's something we don't think of, the process by which we make choices in life. We can fill ourselves with mitzvos and ma'isim tovim and chachma, but if we don't get to the very core of what defines and motivates our choices, the process of bechira, there will always be something that's a little missing. A chacham with good ratzon can never be corrupt. A chacham with a bad ratzon will very often stray as well. And with this, he explains a chazal that's so familiar to us, we don't often appreciate how cryptic it really should be. So we say at the end of Avos, for example, what else we find in the Talmud? Kol ma shebar kadosh baruch hu ba'olamo lo bara ela. Whatever God created in his world, he created only for his honor, for his glory. If we say it that way, it sounds strange. Everything God created in his world, he created for his own kavod? But what does that really mean? God cares about the kavod we give him. We speak of anvesanusa shakadosh baruch hu, that God is a humble entity. So what does it mean, lo bara ela lechvodo? Rav Kook explained that the greatest good man can have is to comprehend and to do God's will. Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu lezakos es Yisrael, lefichach hirba lahem Torah mitzvahs. God wanted to confer merit on the Jewish people, so he filled us with opportunities to learn Torah, to do mitzvahs, to follow his will. In essence, God created man with a soul that would find its shleimus in what Rav Kook called milui ratzon habore, fulfilling the will of the Creator. And in fact, since that's the soul that he gave us, a soul that yearns to do his will, that's olam chesed yibone. There's no greater chesed than that that's possible. And that's the chesed of Hakol Bara Lechvodo, that everything God created, he created for his kavod. It's not for his kavod. It means that we should see, Shakol, that everything that exists on earth in our lives, everything that exists in creation, man can use as an opportunity to see God and to praise God and to worship God and love God. Shakol bar l'chvodo is not from God's perspective, as we would think. We do things for our own honor. But he did things l'chvodo means that we should be able to utilize every aspect of creation to add to the Kavod Hashem, to recognize the Kavod Hashem. And in that we become faithful servants. If the essence of tshuva is, as we say in Avos, make your will into his will. Better said, make our will into his will, and each and every one of us. Then that's a real test. Man is defined as a creature of ratzon. We have ratzonos, needs, wants, yearnings. So many things that come from a conscious ratzon, perhaps many more things that come from an unconscious ratzon. We seek to do what we want to do. This time of year comes along, and our personal ritzonos have to recede into the background. They have to be transformed, have to be changed and rectified and really purified. So we drop, in essence, whatever is our personal ratzon, our ratzon prati, in favor of ascertaining what the ratzon Hashem is and then following through. And he writes at length here that that's really the whole source, that's the meaning of anava, humility. Humility means to completely sublimate our personal will in favor of the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It sounds easy. Rav Kook, in fact, writes in Arata Tshuva that if we realized how easy Tshuva really was, nobody would have any objection to it. People would run to do it. Because all it means, all it really requires, is that one change from the priority being my ratzon to the priority being the ratzon Hashem. That all that requires, that one simple change. So it's really a simple process. And yet, therein lies all the difficulty that we have as we go through this time of year again. So a story last night, it's in this week's Besheva. It's a weekly column that I don't usually read, called Sipur L'Shabbat. I'm desperate for material this time of year, so I read the article. I don't know whether the stories are true or not. You know, I embrace Rabbi Wein's thesis that they're all true, might not have happened yet. But nonetheless, here's a story, and what it turns out is that what impressed me most about the story is not the point that the writer was trying to make. It's Oded Mizrahi. Tell the story of a fellow who was desperate to be a journalist. Why some would want that, I'll never know. But he was desperate to be a journalist, secular fellow, and he starts out working for a weekly in Netanya for free, and he's writing feature stories and on, and then he's talented, he's bumped up the chain, and he finally gets to work. He's hired by the most prominent newspaper in the country. Implication is it's Haaretz. And he's working for them as a reporter, and one day he gets a call from the editor that she wants to send him on an investigative journalistic assignment. They're having in Netanya a meeting of Arachim, the organization. Arachim is a Kiruv organization in Israel. Having a meeting, starts on Hanukkah, 3 days of sessions, and she tells him they bring in all these chilonim umlalim, these unfortunate chilonim who have no purpose, don't understand life, and they chop them right away and they turn them into denizens of Bnei Brak and Mea Shearim. I want you to go there, she says to him, and write a piece, 3,000 words, we'll pay all the expenses, uncovering the techniques that they use, the deceptions that they use, the brainwashing that they subject these misfortunates to, and we'll pay you a nice sum of money for it. No, he agrees. He goes there, he sneaks in, and he asks, he checks in, and he meets there a fellow, introduces himself as an engineer, graduate of the Technion, whose wife dragged him to this Kiruv event. And he has no interest in being there. And this guy says, the reporter says to him, I'm just a student, I'm bored, it's Hanukkah, we have time off from school, nothing to do, so I figured I'd look into what this is. There's one particular session that apparently is the one that just overcomes everyone. And the session starts, and the other fellow gets up and leaves. So the guy says to him, where are you going? And he says to him that I sense that after this lecture, I'm going to be forced lachzor b'tshuva. Lo matim li, lihitraot. He said, it doesn't fit me. I don't want to be a bal tshuva, so goodbye, I'm leaving. He stays and listens, Monday, Tuesday, doesn't file the report. Late Tuesday, they wanted for the deadline. Editor calls him up and says, where's the report? And he says, he can't rush. He says, don't tell me they chopped you also. They turned you, no, I'm just listening. Next day, Wednesday, they have a group session. They tell the personal stories. And he says that he was sent basically undercover to try to expose what they're doing. and he sees what they're, what are you doing, brainwashing, etc. What you're doing is exposing people to their heritage, to their Torah, to their history, to their lifestyle. And there went his entire assignment. Okay? That's the story. It's a wonderful story. I assume it's true. But what struck me in from the whole story is what the other fellow said. Ani margish acher hatzah zot ialetz lachzor b'tshuva lo matim li litlot. I know I'm going to feel pressure to become a Baal Tshuva after this lecture. Lo matim li. It doesn't fit me. I don't want to do that. I'm leaving. When we try to make our ratzon, or God's ratzon, into our ratzon, as we try to conform our own needs to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us, how often do we say to ourselves, explicitly or implicitly, lo matim li? It sounds good on the surface. I know what has to be done. It doesn't really fit. It doesn't correspond to how I see myself, how others see me. So how could I do that? So the hero of the story, of course, is this journalist. But I think the personality that addresses us most directly is engineer who got up and left. And the question recurs every year to us. How many times are we going to get up and leave in the middle? Yeah, we'll sit through it. Sit for slichos tonight and next 2 weeks and 2.5 weeks even. We'll do all the davening. We'll sit and shofar and fast. But how frequent is it that we do that with the ultimate mindset, even unspoken, of lo matim li? I have no interest in changing. I like who I am. My flaws are very comfortable to me. My sins, where would you be without my sins? So I have no intention of changing. Lo matim li. That is a devastating indictment with which to begin the Yom Narah. Slichos means, tshuva means, that everything God has to offer us is matim. Everything else is matim. Everything is matim. Everything fits, everything is appropriate, everything is the best for us, everything leads to the shleimut, the perfection of the human being, everything leads to our desire to bring nachat ruach liyotzreinu, to bring the sense of contentment, kivyachol, to God, to justify His creation of us and His sustenance of us until today. If we have that mindset, that everything that's before us, everything we'll read, every word, every mitzvah that we do, an act of chesed we perform, an idea of Torah that we study, and every tefillah we recite, it's only because matim li u'matim li od, that everything fits. This is who I really am. And this is what I want my soul to be. If that in fact is our mindset, then for sure HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to all our tefillos and grant us slicha, mechila, v'chapara, so in the coming year, as individuals, we become better people, and as a nation, we're zocha to gula shleimo, b'mehera b'yameinu. Amen. Kaddish Rabbanu.